Back here at Petco Park, welcoming to our Hamul Casino Resort Padres postgame show here on the Padres Radio Network. Sam Levitt with you inside the loft here at the Western Metal Building as we begin our postgame coverage. Phillies beat the Padres in the finale of this three-game series, 3-0. Phillies sweep this three-game set. The Padres have lost four in a row. They finish up what becomes a 3-6 homestand. A lot to do on our postgame coverage. We'll hear from Padres manager Craig Stammen coming up in a little bit. We have all the radio highlights for you, a full look at the out-of-town scoreboard. We will break down each and every aspect of this ball game here today at Petco Park. As always, our post-game coverage brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Hey player, with Epic SoCal views, a full bar and poolside bites, Starlight Pool at Hamul Casino Resort is pool season perfected and day passes are available. Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place. Well, unfortunately today, sort of the same old story for the Padres, and more specifically with their offense. We will dive into each bit of it here today. Obviously, they were facing a very, very good left-hander in Christopher Sanchez on the mound for Philadelphia. He continued to be really, really good. However, the Padres did have early opportunities against him, and Walker Buehler, to his credit, was excellent to start this game, 5 scoreless innings, but the Padres unable to cash in on any of their 8 at-bats with runners in scoring position in this game. And that ends up being not just the theme of the day, but the theme of the homestand, and really the biggest issue the Padres have had over the course of this 4-game losing skid, and really the last 5 games in particular, has been the inability to come through with runners in scoring position. The Padres on this 9-game homestand, after going 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position today, they go 2-for-46 on the 9-game homestand with runners in scoring position. 2-for-46, and that is hitting 0-43 with runners in scoring position on this homestand and the last 5 games, which includes their win on Saturday against the A's. They are 0 for their last 33 with runners in scoring position. And in fact, if you go back to the day before late, goes back even a couple of at-bats farther than that. But last 5 games, including a win to their credit on Saturday against the A's, they're now in the midst of an 0 for 33 skid with runners in scoring position. And look, this series against the Phillies, it's not like the Phillies came in here and just, had an offense that was explosive. I mean, the Phillies won 3-0 on Monday. They won 4-3 last night, 3-0 today. So the Phillies win a series where they never scored more than 4 runs. And again, the Padres' offense just very, very quiet throughout this series. Shutout Monday, 3 runs last night, shutout here today. So the Padres score a grand total of 3 runs in the series. They're shutout twice in the series, and the offensive issue continue. And again, it wasn't a lack of opportunities here today. They had golden opportunities early against what is maybe the best pitcher in baseball right now, and Christopher Sanchez. That is how good he's going right now. But they had opportunities against them, could not cash in, and the Padres now will hit the road for a 6-game road trip to Washington, D.C., and then play the Phillies again in Philadelphia in the early part of next week. Padres dropped the 31-24 on the year. Phillies leave town 29-27. And when we come back, we'll get even deeper into this ball game. Again, we'll hear from Craig Stammen coming up a little bit later as well. Final score is the Padres unfortunately get swept by the Phillies. They've lost 4 in a row now. Phillies 3, Padres nothing. We're back with more on our postgame coverage after this. Sam Levitt with you inside the loft here at the Western Metal Building at Petco Park as we wrap this one up. Padres fall 3-0 to the Philadelphia Phillies in the final game of this 3-game series and 9-game homestand. We'll go downstairs here from Padres manager Craig Stammen coming up in a little bit. We have a full look at the out-of-town scoreboard coming your way a little bit later as well. We'll preview the Padres' upcoming road trip to Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia. Padres will be off tomorrow. tomorrow. They're en route to D.C. right now, and actually 2 days on the road trip will be off days tomorrow, and then Monday also an off day for the Padres. So we will have a couple of off days here coming up within the next week, but we'll see if the Padres can right the ship on the road. Padres have now lost 4 games in a row, and they finish up, obviously, I think fair to say, an underwhelming homestand. That's a record of 3-6 against the Dodgers, A's, and Phillies. They lose 2 out of 3 to L.A. They win 2 out of 3 against the Athletics, and the Padres swept in the 3-game series against Philadelphia. Let's recap this one, how it went down, a little Wednesday matinee at Petco Park.
Which moments determine the outcome of today's game? We'll paint you a picture with our game highlights on the Padres Radio Network.
Our starting pitching matchup today, right-hander Walker Buehler on the mound for the Padres. Left-hander Christopher Sanchez, who entered without having allowed a run this month. He was on the mound for the Phillies. So a very tough customer on the mound against the Padres here today. Buehler started his day by striking out 2 in a 1-2-3 top of the first inning. Padres then had great early chances to score against Sanchez. Fernando Tatis Jr. hit a leadoff single in the first. He stole second base, but then Sanchez retired the next 3 in a row. Miguel Andujar, Gavin Sheets, and Manny Machado. The inning was over. In the second, the Padres put runners at the corners with 2 men away, but Freddie Fermin grounded out to end the inning. Padres then got a 2-out double from Ramon Laureano in the 4th inning, but again, they were unable to cash in. But the good news is that Walker Buehler was rolling through 5 innings. Buehler had allowed just 2 singles in this game, erasing both base runners on double play balls. After Sanchez pitched the scoreless bottom of the 5th, Buehler returned to the mound in the 6th inning. We still had a nothing-nothing game, an absolute pitcher's duel. 5 scoreless for both starting pitchers. But then in the 6th inning, Buehler got the first out of the inning. He then allowed a single to Justin Crawford. Buehler hit Edmundo Sosa with a pitch to put 2 runners on base. With the left-handed hitting Kyle Schwarber coming up, the Padres went to left-hander Adrian Morejone out of the bullpen. Again, 2 runners on. Morejone got ahead 0-2, but Schwarber would work the count full.
And Schwarber hits it hard on the ground right side, just between Sheets and Tatis into right field. Crawford's on his way home. The throw from Castellanos is not in time. An RBI single for Kyle Schwarber, and the Phillies take a 1-0 lead.
Kyle Schwarber coming through in the lefty against lefty matchup with runners still on first and third. The speedy Trey Turner hit a ground ball to shortstop, but not hard enough to turn 2. Fielder's choice for Turner. Sosa scored from third base. Phillies had a 2-0 lead. Sanchez pitched a 1-2-3 bottom of the 6th inning. Padres then got a 1-out double from Jackson Merrill in the bottom of the 7th, but Nick Castellanos grounded out. Ty France pinch hit for Freddie Fermin. France struck out, and the inning was over. Sanchez finding a way, despite dealing with a lot of runners in scoring position, to maneuver his way through 7 shutout frames. He set a new Phillies franchise record for consecutive scoreless innings in the process. That streak now up to 44 2/3 consecutive scoreless innings for Christopher Sanchez. We'll talk more about what he's been doing a little bit later, but he has been stellar. And again, 44 2/3 consecutive scoreless innings for Christopher Sanchez. And the 8th inning, Jason Adam threw up a scoreless frame. In the bottom half of the 8th inning, Jonathan Bolin pitched a scoreless bottom half of the inning, retired the top of the Padres lineup in order. Top of the 9th inning, Ron Marinaccio came on. He gave up a leadoff home run to Trey Turner, hit it off the Western Metal Building. Turner's second home run in as many days. That gave the Phillies a 3-0 lead. With Joan Duran pitching the last 2 days, Phillies staying away from Duran gave the Padres a little bit of hope. Left-hander Jose Alvarado came in trying to record a save, with the Phillies leading 3-0. Alvarado struck out Manny Machado to begin the inning. Xander Bogaerts then singled to put a runner on base. Ramon Laureano struck out for out number two, and Jackson Merrill popped out to end the inning and the ball game, and that was it here today. Padres going 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position, and they get shut out for the second time in three games. The Phillies win it 3-0 on this Wednesday. 3 runs, 6 hits, no errors for the Phils, no runs, 7 hits, no errors for the Padres. Padres drop to 31-24. Phillies leave town 29-27. Walker Buehler, really good through five innings, got in trouble in the sixth inning. Morejone allowing couple of inherited runners to score. Buehler takes the loss. He's now 3-3. Christopher Sanchez, again, tremendous. 7 shutout innings for the Phillies. He improves to 6-2, and Jose Alvarado, with Duran seemingly unavailable, picks up his first save of 2026 for the Phillies, as the Padres get swept here at home against the Phillies, and they'll hit the road now in the midst of a 4-game losing streak. When we come back, we'll hear from Padres manager Craig Stammen. Much, much more to do. If you want to get involved, we'll try to squeeze in a phone call or two before we flip things over to today's edition of Gwynn and Chris. Phone number is always 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Excuse me. That was embarrassing. I had a frog in my throat. Oh, hope nobody clips that. All right. Phillies win it 3-0 against the Padres here on the Padres Radio Network. Sam Levitt with you inside the loft here at the Western Metal Building at Petco Park as we continue to wrap this one up. Phillies 3, Padres nothing, the final score on this Wednesday. Padres get swept by the Phils. We'll hear from Craig Stammen coming up in just a little bit. So I'm going to go through some of the overall offensive numbers on this homestand, and I'm going to warn you, it's not particularly pretty, but it is what it is. It's kind of the story of what's going on with the Padres right now, despite still, after losing 4 in a row, being 7 games above 500, the Padres' offensive struggles, which has been a theme throughout the first third of the season, well, they've not improved. In fact, it's kind of gone the other way the last handful of games, especially in this 4-game losing skid. We've really harped on the runners in scoring position. They enter today 2-for-38 on the homestand in 8 games with runners in scoring position. So that's now up after an 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position today to 2-for-46 on the homestand, which is 0-43 as far as batting average with runners in scoring position on the 9-game homestand. And the Padres in the midst of an 0-for-33 with runners in scoring position in their last 5 games. So none of that is particularly pretty or great, and we'll see if they can get it going in that runners in scoring position department on this upcoming road trip. The Padres also striking out a lot in this series, and this has been a little theme during a few series in particular. This was the 4-3-game series this season. The Padres have struck out 30 or more times. Prior to this year, they had not struck out 30 times in a 3-game series since 2023. So, you know, put it a little simpler, they hadn't done that at all in 24 or 25. They've now struck out 30-plus times in a 3-game series 4 times this year, and it's not the end of May. So the strikeouts have certainly been a problem as well. Christopher Sanchez, there's a lot of notes here we can get to about Sanchez, who again ran his scoreless inning streak up to 44 2/3 innings. He ends up not allowing a run in the month of May. Give you a few notes here on Sanchez before we hear from Craig Stammen, because look, Sanchez was great today. On the other hand, the Padres had lots of opportunities, and it was one of those games where it felt like it was the old adage against the great starting pitcher: if you're going to get to him, you better get to him early. And the Padres had a golden opportunity to score in the first inning, couldn't get a run in. 2 more on in the second, didn't score. Even had a runner on in the fourth, didn't score. Runner on in the seventh inning in what was a 2-0 game at the time, didn't score. So I don't know really how much it was, Sanchez just being absolutely dominant as it got later. He certainly was better as it got later, but the Padres did have opportunities to score throughout the game, but the best chances, especially the first inning when they had a runner on second base, nobody out, you got Andujar, Sheets, and Machado. I get it. Sanchez is pitching as well as anybody in baseball right now, but the Padres were unable to cash in. And, you know, look, sometimes against great starting pitchers, the best opportunities you have are early, and the Padres squandered those early opportunities. Few notes I want to get to on Sanchez, just so you know. He now has the longest single-season scoreless inning streak by a left-handed pitcher in the expansion era. That goes back to 1961. It's also the longest single-season scoreless inning streak by a Phillies pitcher since at least 1893, passing Grover Cleveland Alexander, who had a 41-inning scoreless streak in 1911. He also completed 7 shutout innings for the 5th consecutive start. That became a franchise record in the Phillies record books, and he became one of 6 pitchers in Major League history to have a 5-start streak of 7 or more scoreless innings. The others who did it, Brandon Webb in 2007, Oral Hershiser in 1988, Don Drysdale in 1968, Bob Gibson in 1968, and Doc White in 1904. I mean, that's the kind of rare company that this left-hander, Christopher Sanchez, is in right now. And to me, he's no doubt at this point the leader in the clubhouse as far as National League Cy Young, albeit it's super early. We're not done with May yet. But look, it was no surprise to see Sanchez come out and throw up 7 shutout innings. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I mean, that's what he's been doing to everybody. But again, I do think it's important to remember and note, and we've illustrated it now throughout the first couple of segments, the Padres had chances. They did. It's not like Sanchez came in here today and was just overpowering. He was, you know, unbelievably dominant. The Padres had their chances in what was a low-scoring game. And hey, when you get chances, we talked about it pregame. It was one of our big keys to today's game. Could you cash in when you had chances against Sanchez, considering some of the issues heading into this one with runners in scoring position? And unfortunately, the answer today was no. They could not. And played out that way. Phillies got a couple of runs in the 6th, 1 more in the 8th inning, and they win this game 3-0. Do want to mention before we hear from Craig, Walker Buehler, because look, Walker's going to get a tough luck loss today. The first 5 innings of this game for Walker Buehler were, you could argue, the best he's been as a Padre. I mean, he was really, really good. Gave up 2 singles in the first 5 innings, immediately erased those base runners on double play balls, gets the first out of the 6th inning in a scoreless game, a little kind of flare of a single to Crawford, hit Sosa with a pitch. And then, look, I totally agreed with going to get Adrian Morejon in the 6th inning to face Schwarber. There's a lot that goes into that. And you'll look at Buehler's line and you'll see, okay, 58 pitches. Wow, he came out after 58 pitches. But you know what? Scoreless game. You've got Kyle Schwarber coming up with 2 on base. You've got Christopher Sanchez on the other side and a good Philly bullpen on the other side. I do not blame Craig Stammen at all for saying, you know what, let me go get, you know, one of the best left-handed relievers in the game right now, Adrian Morejon, to face Schwarber instead of having Walker Buehler face him a third time. Forget pitch count. In this kind of game where literally one run could decide the contest, I had no issue with it. Off day tomorrow, the Padres had all their guys available. I thought it was the right move. I thought it was a smart move. Didn't work out because Schwarber had the single. Phillies took a 1-0 lead. Didn't work out. But I agreed with the move. I really did. I thought that was a good spot to go to Morejon, even though Buehler had only thrown 58 pitches. This was a little bit of a unique game, I think, because of the low-scoring nature of it, the fact that Sanchez was on the other side, and the fact that you had an off day tomorrow. So, look, we're getting into the intricacies of the ball game, but, hey, you know what? You don't score any runs, you ain't going to win the game. And that's the way it went today for the Padres. With all that in mind, let's go downstairs and hear from Craig Stammen.
Let's pull up a seat in the manager's office and hear from Padres skipper Craig Stammen. Served up by Sinley Food. If you've had better chicken, you must be a rooster.
Well, you guys faced a very tough pitcher in Christopher Sanchez today, but another shutout and only three runs scored across the series against the Phillies. How do you assess it now here at the end?
Yeah, tough three games. They're starting pitchers on a little bit of a roll right now, to say the least. Pretty darn good. We battled him, but just not quite good enough.
What did you think of Walker Buehler's day today and the efficiency he was able to provide?
Yeah, he pitched great. It was, low pitch count. Got there the third time through the lineup. You know, they're big left-handed hitters that have kind of given us trouble this year and over all the years, and felt like we needed to bring one of our best guys in from the bullpen to try to shut that inning down, and, you know, a couple balls through the hole, and that's how they scored.
You kind of addressed it, but you'd do that 1,000 times. So he got the two ground balls. He's good at stranding runners, Adrian.
Yeah, I feel good about it. Feel good about that decision. Walker probably would have done something similar, given up weak contact. Maybe they got somebody, maybe they don't. It's the guessing game of baseball.
There have been a couple times during this streak where you guys haven't brought a runner in scoring position, that also the situation hitting, like today. Is that, how much of a disappointment is that, that you're not getting, like, the productive outs?
Yeah, it's definitely a grind, you know, for those guys offensively and us, you know, just not taking advantage of some of the opportunities that we did have. There's a little credit to their pitching, but also we've got to figure out a way to be better. We've got to figure out a way to be better in those situations. Runners in scoring position, you know, we're searching for that big hit. Maybe sometimes we're trying to do it a little too much, but we got to stay within our approach and hit some line drives.
Have you seen anything change in those at-bats? Because as you alluded to the other day, you were pretty good for most of the season in those spots.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know why they would have any reason to change. Sometimes, you know, it's just the ebbs and flows of a season. You're just never going to be amazing at it the entire year, and this is a part of the season where we're struggling.
What do you think of Jackson's at-bats today after kind of a tough day yesterday? Seemed to bounce back nicely against some tough pitchers.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, a couple great at-bats by him today. Battled, tough left-on-left matchup for him. And for him to, that opposite field single, that's what, when he first came up, that's what his bread and butter was too. And I think a little bit of that just mindset of getting back to that. You know, and then seeing one go in that first at bat was nice to see, and then gets another double down the line. So, hopefully he's trending in the right direction, and that's good news for the Padres.
Starting to look like more natural for Tatis at second base. I mean, obviously he was always athletic enough to handle it, but just in terms of maybe getting more acclimated.
Yeah, I think he's taking something that looked normal to him and making it look spectacular, just like he does about everything else. So it's fun to see him over there at second base make some plays that, he may look easy today that are very difficult. He's definitely turning into one of the best second basemen in all of baseball.
Maybe it's a little bit like the answer for the situational hitting, but like, what are you guys seeing with the strikeouts for you guys being up so much this year?
What do you striking mean? Strikeouts
yes.
This year. Yeah, I mean, we are. We're striking out a lot, and we've got to figure out a way to change that.
You had said in spring how you weren't going to have catchers, be assigned, and it kind of was like the same guys were catching, and you've mixed it up recently, like Freddie today in for Walker. What was that?
Yeah, I just wanted to get Freddie in there. He's the guy that we've trusted as our number one catcher, going into the season, and we gave him a little bit of a breather to kind of get his body right a little bit, and now, he's our guy. We got to trust him, especially against, good pitching, and, felt like him and Walker will work fine together, and they worked really good today. So, those things like are always movable and pliable. Certain guys do certain well with certain catchers, and sometimes it doesn't really matter. And I think we got a lot of pitchers, it doesn't really matter, but it's a nice way to break up those guys and keep them fresh.
How do you kind of look at this, where it's like the offense has been struggling and you, oh, cool, get to go up against Christopher Sanchez today? Is there, like, not that you're throwing it away and not taking, but I'm just wondering what your takeaway is from it.
There's nothing better than playing Major League Baseball and getting to take on the best. And getting to figure out if you're good enough to compete, and if you're, if you can beat that person. And so today was a challenge that we didn't have success with. But again, we're going to see a guy like that down the road, probably in a week. We're going to see him again, and we're going to step up to the plate and take that challenge on and have some fun with it and try to figure out if we're good enough.
I don't know if there's an easy way to segue from this series into the next series, but you're going to Washington to manage. As the opposing manager in Washington, you spent a lot of time there. What are your kind of thoughts on what that'll be like for you?
Yeah, I think it's a series that a few of us on the coaching staff have circled for a while and are excited to go back to a place that we considered home for a long time. Randy Knorr, Bobby Henley, myself, Nick Pivetta, Lucas Giolito, all his former, Steven Souza Jr., forgot about him. All of us, you know, got our taste of the big leagues with that team and had a lot of success in that stadium and a lot of good memories. So it'll be good to go back. It's always been good to go back even as a member of the Padres, and this will be a different, you know, way of going back for me, but it'll be equally as fun.
Craig, there's been a lot of talk about Steven Souza Jr. kind of considering the struggles offensively. Can you kind of enlighten some of us just how much of a role he has with the approach on offense and during these struggles, what he's trying to do to change things up?
Yeah, in my opinion, it has nothing to do with him. This is the Padres hitting. This is the Padres organization and how we go about taking at-bats. It's on all of us, and more specifically, probably on me. You know, I'm the one in charge, and we've got to figure out a way to hit.
That was Padres manager Craig Stammen following this 3-0 loss against the Philadelphia Phillies. Padres swept in this three-game series. They have lost four in a row. Sam Levitt back with you inside the loft here at the Western Metal Building at Petco Park on our post-game coverage. Brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort, the Players' Place. A few things I want to chew on there from Craig. Look, I thought that was a good job there at the end from Craig. Gets asked the question about Steven Souza Jr. and you know, takes the blame, you know, puts the blame on himself. You know, which I think is you know, kind of a savvy move from Craig Stammen. And look, when a team is struggling, you do expect the manager to, you know, kind of put it on himself and, you know, not put, you know, take pressure off his players. And, you know, look, I think at this point in the season, we're not even at the end of May. I quite frankly think Craig is saying pretty much what he should say. I don't know what else there really is to say about the offense other than to keep believing that, you know, some of these big guys are going to get it turned around and collectively they're going to get it going. You know, not that you don't, you know, try to adjust things. And I think Craig certainly has been very, very malleable with his lineup and trying really all different kinds of things. I mean, I'll say this, you know, and this is not a knock on Mike Schilt, but it's just a difference of what it was the last couple of years. You know, Mike Schilt was not moving around his lineup like Craig was in the first third of the season. If these games are playing out the same way and the Padres' offensive numbers, you know, were what they were, or I should say are what they are, let's live in a world where Mike Schilt was the manager this year. I'm telling you, this lineup wouldn't be moving around like it has. So I've liked that Craig's willing to shake it up and switch it up and try to get guys going by just moving them in the order. You know, has it worked great probably as far as the big guys and getting them going? But, you know, look, I think Craig at this point is saying, I think, what he should say at this point in the season. And I commend him for that. You know, I don't think it's time to, you know, overly criticize guys, throw any guys under the bus, throw any coaches under the bus. I think Craig is kind of in May doing what he should be doing as far as the post-game media. So good on Craig. You know, look, couple of things here. You heard the question there about the strikeouts, and I do think that is, you know, we talk about the runners in scoring position being an issue, and it certainly has been the strikeouts as well. And we talked about this being another series where the Padres struck out more than 30 times as a team. Yeah, they're striking out a lot. 10 more today. They struck out 11 times yesterday. They struck out 10 times on Monday. Very high strikeout numbers for this team. And look, yeah, you're going to run into starting pitchers that are on an absolute tear. And Christopher Sanchez is at the top of the list of guys right now that you don't want to face. However, Craig made the good point. Well, you better kind of figure it out or find a way to get a run or two against them because you're going to face them next week. You're going to face them next week in Philadelphia. So it's not like you're going to be able to run away from him. So, you know, you didn't capitalize on your chances this time. You got to find a way next time when you have those same kinds of opportunities because you're going to face him very quickly. And he's going to be trying to keep this scoreless inning streak going. I will, before we get a break here, talk about just, I guess, two positives. And I know out there you're probably yelling at the radio saying, Sam, you know, Don't sugarcoat it to me, all right? We scored three runs in this series. I get it. But let me give you two positives that were touched on there. One of them, I agree with Craig. I thought Jackson looked a lot better today, and hopefully that's a sign of things to come for Jackson Merrill in what has been a really tough month for him. Entered the day hitting under 200. You know, and I thought it was interesting he brought up the base hit to left field. I agree. To me, that kind of hit where he drives the ball the other way, where, and Jackson has always driven the ball the other way with power, but even just base hits the left field, being more of a, you know, more of just a spray the ball around, go the other way type of hitter. I would love to see Jackson do more of that. To me, that was a very reminiscent swing type of hit when Jackson's at his best, what he's doing, and then he pulls the ball for a double later in the game. You hope that's a sign of things to come for Jackson Merrill. And I'll give you another positive. And again, I don't want you to yell at the radio and say, Sam, the guy still doesn't have a home run. I get it. However, Fernando Tatis Jr. continues to collect hits, continues to get on base at a very high clip, and continues to play an outstanding second base. I mean, this guy goes to second base, and he looks like he's played there for 10 years. So, you know, look, I do give Fernando credit, despite the lack of power and the lack of slug, and we've been over it for 2 months now. I do give him credit that he is finding ways to contribute offensively despite not hitting for power. And he had two more hits today. He did get on base, and you just hope that the power is going to come, that switch is going to get flipped at some point, but he's getting on base at a very high clip and playing a really good second base. So he's not, you know, I'll put it this way. It's not like Fernando isn't contributing to winning baseball. I mean, he's doing some things well. Obviously, you want him to hit for power and slug and drive in runs. I get it. But to Fernando's credit, he's doing some things really well right now. Getting on base and playing defense, that's contributing to, you know, to winning baseball, but unfortunately not a win here today or throughout this series against the Phillies. All right, let's step aside. When we come back, we'll get into more. We have a full look at the out-of-town scoreboard if you want to squeeze a phone call in. Before we flip things over to today's edition of Gwynn and Chris, you can do that at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. The phone number to call. Final score, Phillies 3, Padres nothing on the Padres Radio Network. Final score on this Wednesday at Petco Park. The Padres fall 3-0 to the Philadelphia Phillies. As always, our postgame coverage brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Hey, player, the rooftop pool's open. Day passes are available, and the spa is calling your name. Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place. We'll have a full look at the out-of-town scoreboard coming up in a little bit. Phone number to call if you want to get involved, 833-288-0973. I will flip things over to today's edition of Gwynn and Chris coming your way in just a little while. They'll take you up until 6 p.m. here on 97.3 The Fan. But for now, our postgame coverage continues from Petco Park. Let's tell you about today's relief pitcher of the game.
Which pitcher entered the game and slammed the door shut? This is today's relief pitcher of the game, brought to you by San Diego criminal defense attorney David P. Shapiro. We help good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime. Learn more at davidpshapirolaw.com.
Well, we'll stay on the Padres side of things because we can, and I'm going to dive into the bullpen here in a second because it's actually kind of remarkable that this bullpen, really, no matter who pitches, I mean, everybody's throwing up zeros pretty much right now. We'll give it to, we'll give it to Jason Adam, who had a 1-2-3 inning lone guy who came in out of the bullpen and retired each batter he faced. So for Jason Adam, 1-2-3 inning on 12 pitches at the time, kept it a 2-run deficit, kept the Padres right in it. So Jason Adam, who obviously has been terrific this season once again, he is today's relief pitcher of the game. You know, and again, I don't want you to yell at the radio, but I'm going to point out another positive here, okay? Because it's kind of remarkable. Even though the Padres have lost 4 in a row, I mean, it is not a reflection on their bullpen whatsoever. Consider this, and today actually was the toughest day for the bullpen in a little bit, just by the fact that Morejon allowed two inherited runners to score, and Mauricio gave up the home run. But, you know, consider just the lines here. The line for the bullpen today was 3 2/3 innings with one run charged on them. Again, Morahone gave up the two inherited runners. But, you know, all in all, look, bullpen wasn't bad today. Morahone comes in, gets Schwarber and Turner, and keeps it a scoreless game. That would have been better, but probably unrealistic that the bullpen's going to be perfect. You look at yesterday, Rodriguez, Peralta, Morahone combined for 3 1/3 scoreless innings. You look at the day before, the series opener against the Phillies, Estrada and Matsui combined for 2 1/3 scoreless innings. You look at the series finale against the A's. You had Marinaccio, remember, the three scoreless innings, the inning and a third by Wandy Peralta. Bradley Rodriguez gave up a late run, but again, you were looking at 5 1/3 innings of one run ball for the bullpen. I mean, you can go back farther than that. Four scoreless innings in the win against the A's on Saturday. You had four scoreless innings against the A's on Friday. I can keep doing this even going back to the Dodgers series. I mean, this bullpen continues to be great, really top to bottom. So it's not a function of the bullpen, but it's just hard to win games if you don't have leads. And right now the Padres offense is not giving this pitching staff, and more specifically this bullpen, leads. And look, I think for the Padres, you know, forget everything else for a second, but the one thing you can say about this Padre team, I think, in a really, really positive light is this, that when they have a lead late, and they've got the leverage group of relievers, we're talking Adam and Morahone and Estrada, and I'll throw Bradley Rodriguez in there, and obviously Mason Miller at the back end. When they have a lead, you can be very confident that the bullpen's going to hold that lead. I mean, they don't give up leads. The problem is the offense is not doing enough to give this pitching staff a lead. And also, they're just playing from behind a lot. Now, today was not one of those cases because it was a scoreless game going into the sixth inning. But I'll tell you what, even as the game's going along and it's scoreless, the later it goes and it remains tied, or scoreless in this case, I'll tell you what, you feel very good as it gets later because you know the Padres got the relievers to go to either keep it scoreless or keep it tied or protect the lead. But the problem is right now, because of these offensive issues, they're just not playing with leads. And it kind of goes against what you feel like is the major strength of this team, which is when you have a lead, no matter how slim it might be, you've got a bullpen that can protect it. You've got a bullpen that can get you home. And we saw that on this homestand in some of these games where the Padres didn't score a lot of runs, but they handed it to their bullpen and the bullpen got them home with a win. But that requires your offense giving you some runs and getting you a lead. And obviously that's been a pretty tough go of it as of late for this lineup. Let's take a look at the Padres' heart of the order.
Let's take the pulse of the Padres and check in on the Heart of the Order, presented by Palomar Health, the official healthcare provider of 97.3 The Fan. Palomar Health, leading with heart for every patient. Palomar Health is reimagining healthcare.
Part of the order here today, it was the heart, the 3-4-5 spot. Sheets, Machado, Bogarts. Not a great day for the heart of the order. Sheets 0 for 4, Manny 0 for 4, Bogey 1 for 4, so a combined 1 for 12, the one hit. Coming for Xander Bogarts, the single in the ninth inning. So quiet day for the heart of the order. Obviously, they were shut out today, the Padres as a whole, so quiet day for the Padres offense. All right, let's step aside. When we come back, let's take a full look at the out-of-town scoreboard, and we'll preview the upcoming series against the Nationals over the weekend. More after this on the Padres Radio Network. Sam Levitt with you inside the loft here at the Western Metal Building at Petco Park. Final score today, once again, Phillies 3 and the Padres nothing. We'll have today's edition of Gwynn and Chris coming up for you in just a little bit. I will tell you, Tony is on the way to Washington, D.C. with the Padres. I've been told Chris is off today, so it is Matt Scraby who will have you till 6 p.m. So more analysis of today's game and this series and this homestand from Scraby coming up in a little bit. So stay tuned for that. But we still got a little bit more time together on our post-game coverage. Let's take a full look at the out-of-town scoreboard, tell you what's going on around the majors on this Wednesday.
let's take a trip around the bigs to highlight the scores that matter most with our out-of-town scoreboard, presented by Jensen Premium Beef Patties. Always a hit for grilling.
Full look at the out-of-town scoreboard. Handful of finals already today. The Diamondbacks beat the Giants in San Francisco. D-backs playing well. They're now 31-24 on the year. D-backs getting a go-ahead sacrifice fly from Geraldo Perdomo in the seventh inning to win that one in San Francisco. Mariners beat the A's in Sacramento 9-1. Julio Rodriguez, Rob Riffsnyder hit home runs in that game for Seattle. Brewers beat the Cardinals in Milwaukee 2-1. Guardians beat the Nationals 3-2 in Cleveland. Gavin Williams the win in that game on the mound for Cleveland. He went seven innings, gave up one run. Blue Jays beat the Marlins 2-1 in Toronto. Kazuma Okamoto, his 11th home run of the year, a go-ahead shot in the sixth inning, made it 2-1. Blue Jays win by that final score against Miami. Games going on right now. Orioles ahead of the Rays, 6-0 in Baltimore in the fourth inning. Tigers 2, Angels nothing in Detroit in the fourth. The Cubs and Pirates tied at 3 in Pittsburgh in the third. The Cubs trying to avoid an 11th consecutive loss. Yeah, they came into today dropping 10 in a row, again tied at 3 in the third. Braves and the Red Sox at Fenway scoreless in the third. The Mets lead the Reds 1-0 in New York in the second. Games coming up, Twins and the White Sox in Chicago at 4:40. Yankees and the Royals in Kansas City at 4:40. Garrett Cole will make his second start of the season, coming back from Tommy John surgery. Astros and the Rangers in Arlington at 5:05. Jacob deGrom on the mound for the Rangers tonight. And finally, Rockies and the Dodgers in L.A. at 7:10. Shohei Ohtani on the mound for L.A., and it is a right-hander, Tomoyuki Sugano, on the mound for the Rockies. So a couple of guys who came over from Japan, and Ohtani and Sugano going at it tonight on the mound in L.A. And Ohtani, well, as you probably know, very good start to the year on the mound for him, a 0.73 ERA. And that game in L.A. tonight at 7:10. That's a full look at the out-of-town scoreboard on this Wednesday. Again, the final score, Phillies 3 and the Padres nothing. Let's hear today's play of the game.
One bounce, one hit, one pitch can be the difference between victory and defeat. What was the most important play in today's game? This is today's play of the game, presented by Bilhel Plumbing, Heating and Air Restoration and Flood. We know how.
And Schwarber hits it hard on the ground right side, just between Sheets and Tatis into right field. Crawford's on his way home. The throw from Castellanos is not in time. An RBI single for Kyle Schwarber, and the Phillies take a 1-0 lead.
Kyle Schwarber, the RBI single to put the Phillies ahead in the sixth inning. That was our play of the game, unfortunately, today. That was a big spot in this game. Walker Buehler, after 5 1/3 scoreless innings, he had been really good up until that point. Allowed a single to Justin Crawford, hit Edmundo Sosa, the number 9 batter, with a pitch. And then at that point, and I said this a little bit earlier, I thought it was definitely the right move by Craig Stammen. I thought today was the day to do it with the off day tomorrow. You had your bullpen, pretty much everybody in the high leverage group available. I understood, even though Walker Buehler was at 58 pitches, not wanting Buehler to face Kyle Schwarber a third time. I got it. And when you got Mora Hone in the bullpen ready to rock, I get it. You know, especially with Christopher Sanchez on the other side dealing, you're looking at a spot where one run could lose you the game. So I understood it. Mora Hone did a good job getting ahead of Schwarber 0-2. Schwarber did a good job working the count back full, and then Schwarber hit a ground ball through the right side, a base hit. Crawford can fly. He scored from second, gave the Phillies a 1-0 lead. They would get one more run on a fielder's choice. Made it 2-0 and kept a 2-0 lead until the ninth inning when Trey Turner hit his second home run of the series. Made it a 3-0 game, but again, unfortunate because Mora Hone got the ground ball that he wanted, right? If it's right at somebody, could be a double play to end the inning, but instead got through the hole on the right side and ended up giving the Phillies a lead. Unfortunate the way it happened, but no doubt here today our play of the game, because it broke the scoreless tie in the top of the sixth inning. All right, looking ahead to this upcoming road trip for the Padres. Interesting trip because they have two off days in the midst of a six-day trip. Padres have an off day tomorrow. They'll enjoy that in Washington, D.C. Then they play three against the Washington Nationals Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then a day off on Monday in Philadelphia, and then they'll play the Phillies again Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. So kind of an interesting series where they have a couple of off days in a six-game road trip. Again, off days Thursday and Monday. But the three-game series coming up against the Nationals in D.C. Pitching matchups look like this. Lucas Giolito will start for the Padres on Friday. Remember, Giolito came up as a National, ultimately got traded to the Chicago White Sox, where he really made a name for himself in the major leagues. Giolito against left-hander Andrew Alvarez on Friday. Michael King against Foster Griffin, another left-hander, on Saturday. And then Griffin Canning against right-hander Zach Littell on Sunday. So again, for the Padres, it's Giolito, King, and Canning, the way the rotation will line up against the Washington Nationals. And look, the Nationals are playing pretty well. I mean, obviously some names you know, and C.J. Abrams and James Wood, sitting at 29-28 today after losing to the Guardians 3-2. So this is not a Nationals team that's got off to a bad start. I mean, they're hanging around and obviously have a lot of young talent. So will be an interesting series. Padres will be trying to turn things around. They'll head into that series in the road trip on a four-game losing skid. First pitch on Friday in Washington, D.C. at 3:45 Pacific time. Our pregame coverage will begin at 2:45. And again, Lucas Giolito on the mound for the Padres, left-hander Andrew Alvarez on the mound for the Nats. As always, if you missed any portion of our postgame coverage, you can go back and listen to all of it on the Odyssey app. Or if you want to watch the postgame show in video form, you can also go back on the 97.3 The Fan YouTube channel and watch any portion of our post-game coverage there as well. Taking a look at the final totals here today for the Phillies: 3 runs, 6 hits, no errors. They left on 2. For the Padres, no runs, 7 hits, no errors. They left on 7. Winning pitcher today, Christopher Sanchez, who improves to 6-2. Losing pitcher, Walker Buehler, who drops to 3-3. And the save goes to Jose Alvarado, his first of the season. Time of game, 2 hours and 22 minutes in the crowd at Petco Park on this Wednesday afternoon, 37,426. Once again, first pitch on Friday Pacific time here in San Diego, 3:45 p.m. Our pregame coverage will begin at 2:45. Until then, for our great studio coordinator, Jeff Hamby, I'm Sam Levitt, saying so long from Petco Park. Again, the final score today, the Philadelphia Phillies 3 and the San Diego Padres nothing. Matt Scraby filling in for Gwynn and Chris, coming your way next on 97.3 The Fan.